Amen. Come on, y'all. I'm so thankful for two services. I get to say some things better. Second than first. Make sure we get the recording on this one, please. That makes you curious now, doesn't it? Man, we've been looking forward to this day for months. This is kickoff Sunday. Campaign kickoff. When you hear that word campaign, what kind of campaign are we kicking off? Somebody running? We got 23 days to get somebody on the ballot? No, it's not a political campaign. We did talk a little bit about that in the last series, and if you were not here last week, you have got to go listen to Raf Gonzalez bring the thunder last week in such a complicated, hard message that was so gospel-rich and beautiful. In fact, even if you were here last week, you probably need to go listen to that message again over the next 3.5 weeks as we are almost to the finish line of this election season. But that is not the kind of campaign that we're introducing today. It's really a Jesus campaign, right? It's a campaign, a giving campaign that we'll be talking about. But what we're not doing is pausing Relentless Church and then taking 6 weeks to talk about money, right? What we're doing is continuing in the same lane we've been in for 10 years as a, what are we, church? As a gospel, forever, multi-ethnic, you got to commit to it, that movement part. On the video later, I kind of halfway, you can't half-heartedly do that, right? It ruins it. But and I love the way that sounds. I love when you guys say it. I love when we say it together. But if you add something in there, it kind of ruins the whole, you can't mess with it, right? So listen to this. I'll say it. You guys tell me if this doesn't sound way worse than what you just did. We're a gospel-centered, forever-focused, money-grabbing, multi-ethnic movement of God. See, it just doesn't feel as good, right? So this is not going to be six weeks of us trying to get into your pockets. We'll tell you what this is going to be. We have a goal for you that we're going to share with you today. But I want to start with talking about a very dangerous theology. Right? I don't know if that word scares you, but a dangerous thinking. It's an ism, right? We got some bad isms out there. Racism, it's a bad ism. Atheism, I don't know if that's... I just really am blessed to have conversations with atheist folks that God has brought into my life. And I always ask them the same question. Tell me about the God you don't believe in. And they always describe a God, and I'm always able to say, I don't believe in that God you just described either. So I'm with you. I don't believe the God you just described. I don't believe he exists. There is one true, real God. So that's not the ism. The ism that I think it's more dangerous than any other ism in our culture, outside the church and even inside the church. This ism, I don't know if you've heard of this, deism. Deism, all right? So a lot of our, now I don't want to say a lot, many, some of our founding fathers were deists, all right? So what is deism? Deism is the belief, of course there's a God. There's clearly a God. He has created the earth. He is reclined in his recliner. His hands are behind his head, and he is watching the world unfold. He is not involved or interactive. We are basically on our own. There's clearly a creator, and that's what he does best is he creates. But he's not a personal God. He's not really concerned about Raleigh, North Carolina, anything going on in your life. He may be concerned about Western North Carolina right now and everything going on there and starving children across the world. Yes, he's concerned about that, but like he's not concerned. He doesn't even know who you are. Right, for most of it, that's the deism. There's a God, but he's not super dangerous and in complete opposition to the gospel, right? In complete opposition. Like deists are like faux Christians, and like it's a complete opposition to the gospel of Jesus. Because you talk about being involved. What is the story of the gospel? The gospel is God would not at peace letting sin rule and reign and destroy everything. He intervened in history. He interjected. How? By coming to earth in a human body. Jesus, fully God himself, came and broke up history, stopped everything in its tracks, stopped the timeline of history by God himself, the creator God, actually showing up on earth as a human. To do what? To live and love? Yes, but then to die. And that changed everything to show us that death is not going to have the last laugh on humanity, to show that there's something bigger and more powerful than anything else. So he broke into history. He intervened and intersected. It's the opposite of a withdrawn, distant, figured out humans kind of God. And he not only did that, then he rose from the dead And then he started his church and he gave us his spirit. How much more opposite of deism than the spirit of God be? What are we living in? We're living in the church of Jesus, that Jesus lives in us, right? That's the opposite of a distant God. I'm going to come and dwell inside you. You're going to be the rule and reign of my mission and my love to the world. I'm going to live through you. I'm going to be so involved in the people. I'm going to love people through my people, through the spirit of Jesus, the whole triune God, Father, Son, Spirit. All are actively pursuing and involved in everyday life. So yes, he knows your name. And yes, he's concerned about what's happening in our state with the hurting and the people. And he doesn't have to pick. He's unlimited. He doesn't have to like, well, am I gonna throw my love and concern into these hurting people in the western part of our state? Or am I gonna worry about what's going on in this room? He can do all of that at the same time. And I've been so encouraged by our church. We talk about living the lifestyle so much. Lifestyle, not a list. I've been so encouraged. I think every day this past week, I heard somebody else from our church, hey, pastor, not going to be there this weekend, not going to make it to the men's retreat. Me and my family, we really felt like we need to go to Asheville, we need to go to Boone, we need to go serve, we're going to do Samaritan's Purse. Every day this week, another family is like, hey, we're not waiting on somebody to tell us when or where, we're just going to find somebody to help, right? So if you're listening to this message online because you're serving people that need a lot of help instead of being here with us, God bless you for being the hands and feet of Jesus. Can you let them hear us? Isn't technology crazy? Some people are listening to this over their coffee on Wednesday morning, and they just heard you clap for them. That's beautiful thing. So the whole point of the gospel is that God's not distant. He came as a human in a human body. Right? And then that story is throughout Scripture, right? It's in the Old Testament. It's the story of the Israelite people. They were enslaved by the country of Egypt. And we've got to remember, that's our key for this campaign. We've got to remember who God is and what he's done in us, among us, and through us. The Israelite people, if you know the story, it's crazy plagues that freed them from Egypt. God went to great supernatural lengths to get them out of Egypt. And then he said, I'm going to take you to the promised land. On their way to the promised land, they start mumbling and grumbling. Like, what is your deal? We don't like the food out here. They were hangry. We like the food. In fact, some of them said, we were better off in Egypt, but you were slaves, but we like the food. And it's like, but he's taking you to the promised land, but we're not there yet. But the God who did what he just did, look what I just, you think I'm going to pull that off and then I can't come through in what I promised you? Like, look what I just, right? And it was same in Jesus. Before he even did the biggest miracle that will ever be done, which is defeating death, right? And we're going to talk about these stories in this campaign because they're very relevant, because some of you are like, oh no, a campaign to build a building and money, and like, pastor, you don't understand. I got none. I don't even have anything extra. I don't even have the little bit before. I don't have enough to do what I need to do now. I don't even talk to me about extra. Listen, we serve a God who came to earth through Jesus, and you gave him two loaves and a few fish, and he fed thousands. It's not about how much you have or don't have. You're going to be part of this. Trust me. Just stay with us. If you've got not even anything to give financially, you're so a part of this movement. You're so invited into this. But look at what happened. Jesus had just, we're going to pick up right after he did two different things, 5,000, 4,000, no food, give me what you got, and he supernaturally multiplied it to feed people. And then they're on a boat, like the next chapter, Matthew 16. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. And Jesus said to them, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, which are the religious leaders. And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, we brought no bread. All right, so it's not that they didn't bring bread. That's a kind way for Matthew to put it. They had one job, bring bread. And at first it says they had forgotten to bring any bread. So they're realizing, oh, he's talking about leaven, which made them think that's bread. Oh, he's going to try to do an illustration. We're going to eat bread. Who's got Bartholomew? Andrew, who's got... Oh no, we don't have any bread. He's gonna kill it. Like Jesus was some dictator taskmaster. That's not who he was. But they knew they were supposed to bring the bread and they had forgotten the bread. Jesus brought up bread. So their first thing was, oh no, what's he gonna do? And here's what Jesus responded with. But Jesus, aware of this, said, oh, you of little faith. Why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Have you guys not figured this out? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets of leftovers you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Guys, it was yesterday. We had baskets of leftovers. It was a miracle. Like, you guys were there. You know that I was hiding all this food in the truck. Like, I just made it out of nothing. And now you're freaking out because you forgot the bread, which was your one job. But I'm not mad at you. I'm not even talking about the bread. You're making it about yourself. You're making it about what can I give. It's so much bigger and better than that. And he's just saying, right? And in the early church, they had stuff we don't have. They saw a dead Jesus and they saw a risen Jesus. And it was months after that that Peter and John, and Peter was in prison and they're praying, which is good, but they're also, it tells us that they're scared, right? They're locked in because, oh no, they got Peter, they might get us next. And God's saying, I defeated death. They killed Jesus. That's your nightmare. They killed him and look what happened. He rose again and he promised that you will rise again also. Just apply. It's like sometimes we're Dories from Nemo, remember? Like, we got spiritual Doryism. Like, she forgets it right after it happens. Like, look what I just did. I was going to say we're Nemos, but you know what I mean. We're Dories. And then he gave us our own testament. So here's where it gets real specific in this room. Because we are a church for the untold, unconvinced. So some of you are like, if your whole point is remember what God's already done, he hasn't done anything. Some of you would say, my history with God and Jesus is pretty nothing, pretty boring. We're so glad you're here, first of all. Second of all, get ready. All right? There's nothing like the first time you have a relationship with God. If you have a relationship with God, not a religion, then he's constantly working. You have all kinds of stories. Some of you are new to a relationship with God through Jesus. Some of you aren't even new to it. You're just investigating it. And we're so glad you're here. You were born to have a relationship with God through Jesus. Nothing in life makes sense without that. For those of you that have had a relationship with Jesus, you've got to not be Dory and remember, did God not bring you through that diagnosis?
Yes.
Did he? And the beauty of this church and many churches is there's people around you that have already walked through what you're about to walk through. Right? There are people that can say, hey, God brought me through a bitter, ugly divorce, and I made it, and I'm with him, and he's with me. I've been through the diagnosis that you just got. Right? I've been through the doubts that you're currently asking. I've been through that, and I'm on the other side of it, and there's something else coming, but we've got to remember what he did, and we've got to share what he already has done, because there's somebody in the room that needs to hear your testimony, because there's people that are scared. They don't believe that God can show up personally. They think they're tempted to have this deism of, I'm on my own down here. He's distant. He's really not. And then when he comes through, when he shows up in a personal way, it's freaky. It's like, people are like, oh, this is what I was doing. This is what I read this morning. Yeah, that's crazy. Well, it really makes a lot of sense if there's a personal, living, and active God who knows your name and sent Jesus to die for your sins. It's not crazy that he would show up in your life and the hard parts and the good parts because he is a relentless God. And it's not just 2,000 years ago what he did with the bread and what he did raising from the dead, but what about what about our life? We've got to remember, right? As we're in this season where we don't know what our building plan is, like kickoff Sunday, usually say, here's what we're going to build. Here's where we're going to build it. We know none of that, like not even close. But what we do know is who God is and what he's done. Many of you were not with us, and I feel like everybody knows this story, but most of you don't, so I keep telling it. 2014, church started. 2018, we were feeling some pressure. We were at the theater across town, and we were a growing church. So when we started that theater, we can be here forever because 300 seats in an auditorium, and we have room to grow. We went to 2 services, but then they renovated the theater, and those 300 nasty theater chairs became 90 really nice recliners. So now they're like, we don't want the church anywhere near the recliner theater. So they gave us the one at the end of the hall that had not been renovated, 90-some seats. So our growth opportunity, so we could just add a service. We went to 2, but they were real strict on, we got to be out of there. So some days we were loading out our stuff, and people were coming in with popcorn, watching their previews. And we're like, I will be out of here in just a second. But then Regal, a lot of people don't know this, Regal Cinemas was not a Christian company, but they had an initiative to have theater churches. In fact, a few years ago, they had over 1,000 churches and Regal theaters across the country, over 1,000. They had a director who was like a pastor and a Christian on their staff, and his job was connect churches with theaters. They figured, we're not showing movies on Sunday morning. This makes sense. It's easy money. It's good publicity for us. Well, in 2018, they got bought out by a different company, an international company. So Regal came to us. My guy, my director, came to us and said, listen, we're not kicking you out. We've got new ownership. Things are changing. Like, they don't really understand why we got all these churches in our theater. It doesn't make sense to them. So they're asking a lot of questions. So you're not getting kicked out, but your lease is going to be tougher. You guys have gotten away with storing some stuff at the theater under the screen, which is technically against the rules. That's probably not going to happen going forward. Probably going to be some rate increases. And I already knew we were outgrowing the theater space anyway. So I was, my degree on my college diploma says general ministry, right? Not general dentistry, general ministry. Right, I'm not a banker, I'm not an accountant, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a real estate. I was like, God, I don't know. I know, like, this isn't going to work here at the theater, but things are going well except for this. I don't know what to do. So what do we do when we don't know what to do? We pray. So we took October of 2018, some prayer and fasting like we've done recently, and God was so good. He brought me to a verse in Daniel that time and said, the verse said, that prayer's been answered before you even prayed it. And I wrote that down, still got the note card where God's like, well, I'm good. Right, so a few weeks after that, Stephen Scoggins showed up at the theater, and the full story is, he had prayed, God, if I'm hearing you correctly, then show me that through the answer to David's question. So we knew each other from way back, but I hadn't seen him in 3 years. So he comes up to me after the second service at the theater, after a long, exhausting day of ministry where our technology didn't work, we had all these issues, and I'm just done. And he comes up, and he's like, hey, Stephen, hey, I thought that was you. And he's like, listen, I got to ask you a question. I was like, okay, go for it. He said, what's the number one need of Relentless Church? Not people not to ask me hard questions after church. I said, honestly, man, I'm going to give you the unfiltered answer. I don't know what God's doing. I don't know where we're going, but I know we got to get out of here. But that's all I know. And he proceeded over several conversations to say, I just bought this building at 1540 Mechanical Boulevard for my construction company. It's set up for a church, and I want you to come take a look at it. And just a few months later, we're in this building. So as we go into this next phase, God's saying, remember, right? And I got to admit, I'm kind of waiting. Like, I'm waiting, Stephen, are you the new Stephen that just bought? Are you here today? You can come up to me and say, hey, I just bought this building. I don't think that's the plan. And here's why. I think God knows where we were as a church in 2018. I think our faith was really young, and he just said, you know, I'm going to have to do this one for you, right? This time, I think he wants to do something with us. That's the difference. He wants to grow our faith. He wants us to be a part and have some skin in the game in what he's about to do. And he just did that for us, and we're so thankful to be in here every week. But our lease is up February 1st, 2027, which we didn't know that a year ago that we were on a timeline, which is prompted us to take this move to do this campaign. Let me give you an update on this building, because on birthday Sunday, I told you, you know, that we thought this building is, the asking price is $5.8 million. So it's for sale right now, and nobody's bought it, which just blows me away, because I think, because if you buy it, you get us as part of the, like, I would think that would up the bidding. Like, you get Relentless Church as a tenant. Like, I just can't believe nobody's bought it. But we had met with Stephen, and there was a long story, some tax loophole. Listen, let me just pause. Time out. Can I get a timeout? Give me a 30. It was a lot of questions. If I answered every question that I have and that you have, then these would be 3.5 hour messages every week in this series. So we're doing home fellowships where we've got families that have been gracious enough to open their homes to you, even if they've never met you, and we're going to have these. And you'll probably be getting calls and emails and people inviting you to these. The purpose of these is to have conversations, not dialogue like I'm having, not monologue, but dialogue. So if you have questions and you want to know the backstory, no questions are out of bounds. You can ask all your questions. We're going to help you get comfortable with what God's doing in this deal. So, time in. $5.8 million. We thought that we could the relentless price could be 3 million, and through some tax craziness, the other part could be whatever, right? That's what we thought. Since then, some things have changed, and an accountant has gotten involved and said, yeah, that's not best. And so now the relentless price instead of 3 is the low, low price of $5.4 million with $3 million down and the rest in financing. So what we were so excited about is getting a huge discount and having all that equity from the get-go, all of that. I'm not saying that door is closed, but it's closing, right? So I don't think my best lean is that we are going somewhere not here. And here's what's beautiful. We prayed and had options to what we call in this campaign, immeasurably more. And before we knew all that, now what I can see when I look back and like, oh, okay, I think he's going to do immeasurably more than what we were actually asking. Yeah. Right? So he's going to give us a place that's twice the size. Like, quit thinking about size. All right? Bigger is not, it's just, he's got a plan and it's going to be more than what we were even asking. So that's the update on that. I've so many times been across tables and shared this verse from Psalm. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. And it's often in the conversation of, Pastor, help me figure out what God's doing in my life, as if I know. I don't, right? I really disappoint people. It's like, yeah, God hasn't told me anything about what he's doing in your life. But I use this verse because when we see light, sometimes we think of floodlight or, you know, turning your brights on in your car so you can see the deer, you know, ever how many feet above. The light that is referenced when this psalm was written, they didn't have any of that. They were torches. So you couldn't see the path. The path is in the verse, but the light didn't illuminate the path. It only illuminated the next step on the path. So many times I've sat down with people and said, listen, you know, I love the conversations and the strategy of 5-year, 10-year plans. God doesn't seem to be in the business of that. He seems to be in the business of next steps. And I love to give that encouragement, and I believe it. And it's way easier to be on this side of the table saying that for you, life, than to be on this side with God saying, I'm not going to give you. Right? And some of you come from a system of church where God tells the lead pastor everything he's going to do, and that's unhealthy on several, what, maybe I'm doing something wrong, but all he said is, next step. What's the next step? This campaign for our church, for the spiritual growth, and it's a Jesus campaign to jump into whatever he's going to be doing for us. And we named it Immeasurably More. Before we get to that verse, you need to get the background, because we'll be talking about Immeasurably More a lot. But it comes from Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, can anybody guess the chapter that comes right before Ephesians 3? Yes, I knew I could count on it. Ephesians 2. All right, you pass. Ephesians 2 is like the multi-ethnic chapter. It is the beautiful unveiling of the gospel as it relates to us and Jesus, that we can come to God by grace through faith. But then the second part of Ephesians 2 is the result of that gospel is a multi-ethnic family, this whole new thing that Jews and Gentiles, it's not going to be about where you're from, where you grew up. It's going to be about Jesus is going to be the connector of a group of people that are going to be the body of Christ. In Ephesians 3, he unveils the mystery of the gospel. That's what he calls it. The mystery of the gospel is that the non-Jewish people, the Gentiles, are co-heirs of the same promise. We inherit all the promises of Old Testament Israel are now ours, not based on your race or your bloodline, but based on your faith in Jesus. And it says that God's manifold or multi-layered or multicolored wisdom is going to be displayed through God's church. So that's all Ephesians 3. And then Paul prays this beautiful prayer over the church in Ephesus, which was a multi-ethnic church. And the end of that prayer is Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. All right, let's practice something since you guys are so good at crowd participation. When we read this verse in this series, when we get to the amen part, let's say that together. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. All right, really good on this side. Sorry. That's the purpose of this campaign. There would be glory to God through his church. Let's break this couple verses down. To him who's able. I don't, in my conversations with people, that's why I went hard on the deism thing. I think it is super dangerous. I think most of you in this room would say, yes, God is able. He raised Jesus from the dead. It's not an ability issue. The issue is he even invested in my life, in my path? Like, he definitely loves the world. For God so loved the world. Yes, I believe that. Yes, he's able. But it's not a personal, right? And is that because you're forgetful or because you haven't seen God come through? Well, we believe in saying that he will never fail. And it's through a relationship. Maybe some of us are building our life on religion and there's all bets are off about God coming through. We won't sing, he will never fail. If you're building on religion, religion is man-made, so man has to sit with the consequences of that. A relationship is from God. And if you have a relationship with Jesus, then he always comes through. Not always in the way that we thought or predicted. But when we say he is able to do what? More. Not just, right? Sometimes I think there's country songs about thank God he didn't give me what I asked for. It's better than that. You know, it's real pithy. But anytime you can get pithy into the message, that's a win. Immeasurably more than we ask. Now, when you hear me quote this, even on the video that I'll show you later, I say, all we ask, think, dream, or imagine. There's a lot of ways you can translate those words. So those are all packed in there. And he uses a Greek trick. He kind of makes up a word, Paul does, when he says this. There's not a word for this, immeasurably more. We have all this Greek manuscripts and from different documents. Nobody ever used this word that we translated immeasurably more. It's like, two kids arguing and my dad's stronger than your dad. Well, my dad can do this. Well, my dad can do this. Well, infinity. You know, like, it doesn't even make sense, but they just say infinity because that ends the argument. Paul's kind of saying he can do more. How much more? So much more that it's infinity. It's an immeasurably moreness of what God is able and excited. You got to put that in. It's not, okay, he can do it, but he's not showing up in my life. Your only job is to trust. As you trust and walk with him, you will have your own story so some of you do have your own story. You just need to remember. You had a day where you thought, man, I'm kind of leaning. You had a day. Don't be shy about it. Everybody that follows Jesus in this room, unless you're like 12, right? And you just haven't had the experience. Everybody that's followed Jesus in this room, you've had a day where you were leaning deist. You're like, man, I don't want to say it out loud, but the way things are going, it feels like he's sleeping. Right? We've been there. And once you go through that, your faith grows, and then you can apply what he did. And when you get that feeling of God's not here, you're like, no, I'm not falling for this now. I know. I remember, right? So maybe just remember the immeasurably more God that you've already experienced. According to his power, that's what we're building this campaign on, his power that is at work within us, right? So the story of this campaign or of our church will not be, man, you guys, our campaign team is awesome. They are phenomenal. According to the brilliance of our campaign team or our staff, no. It is according to his power that is at work within us. That is the opposite of deism, that it is active power. The same power that Jesus raised from the dead is now alive in Christians and in his church in 2024. The exact same power that did what? Raised Jesus from the dead now lives in and through us. So it's a power that is at work within us. Let's compare obstacles, all right? Finding a new home for Relentless Church, raising a dead man who's not sleeping in a coma, who's all the way dead, raising him back to life. He knows we need a home. He's with us. He's come through, right? We're not going into this scared. We're going into this excited. And many have asked, not many, a few have asked, what's the number? What do you mean? What's the number? You got a number for a goal number for the, right? So in my mind, I was like, yeah, we're going to have something on the wall over here. We're going to have one of those thermometers. Every month, you guys are going to give, and we're going to paint a little bit more in until we get to the goal, and it's going to be awesome. All right? We have a goal, but it's not a numeric goal. Let me explain why. I think that visual could take away, because then we determine success over the goal. Here's the goal of the campaign. Here's what we're asking you, whether you're some people come through town. Sometimes I'll meet people, like we were driving to the beach. We heard about Relentless. We stopped by. Right? So if you're not here by accident. I don't care if you live here or not, but you're invited into this. You're not required into this, but everybody who chooses to give, here's what we want you to give. Here's how we want you to give. We want you to do two things. Listen to God, do what he says. That's our goal for the campaign, that you individually would listen to God and do what he says. And for all the like, man, this is a bad time for me. I understand. I get it. We're not asking you to give money you don't have. Well, we might be. But we're asking you to listen to God and do what he says. He knows. He knows what's coming. It's a 3-year campaign that we start on November 17th is our first Fruits Sunday. It's a commitment Sunday. So how this works is there's going to be commitment cards, and we're going to ask you to fill out a commitment card of what you believe God's calling you to commit over a 3-year period. And it's not a binding legal agreement, right? If you don't hit your number because of life circumstances, obviously God understands that. We understand that. I won't know your number. Your number is personal to you. Someone will tabulate those numbers, but it won't be me. I won't know what you commit. And we're inviting you into this, no matter age, no matter job. You're like, I don't have a job. I'm in middle school. Can you, $1 a month, right? That's $36 towards this campaign, which matters, right? I was talking to my own kids about this, and one of them said, Dad, I don't have a job. I don't know if I'm going to have a job. And I was like, in 3 years? You're not going to have a job for the next 3 years? Come on, I think you might, but I know it's complicated. I don't want a number to determine success. Now, if I had a number, I'd be happy if God said, here's the number, but I don't have a number. Because he just keeps coming back to listen to me and do what I say. If we had a number, then we can celebrate. We can lowball the number and then Celebration Sunday, woo, we killed it. We didn't, right? Or we could do a crazy faith number and then we come up short and you feel like, oh man, why? Our Celebration Sunday is wow, you know? But I'm not going to know success, because the success is you listening to God and doing what he says. Only you're going to know that. So God is the only one that gets to decide if we're listening to him and doing what he says. So take all the pressure and stress off of this. Just be excited that we're all on the same journey to listen to God and do what he says. And again, if the idea of God giving you a number is really weird or foreign, then come to one of those home fellowships. We're going to help you specifically with that and how to do that. But let me be real clear that we're asking you to give above and beyond your normal giving. So the reason we are a church is because some of you give so faithfully, right? So maybe 3 people give in the offering boxes in our church, and everybody else gives the online giving and recurring giving, which is such a blessing through the pandemic. And we have a great record. Like, we've never missed a rent payment. We've never missed a payroll. We have 8 staff that we pay. There is no government grant. I'm always surprised, because I've been in church world my whole adult life. I'm always surprised when people think that we're funded off some government grant or some Wake County, like all of our revenue comes from our people choosing to voluntarily give to the ministry of Relentless Church, which is helping people in Honduras. It's helping people around Wake County, local ministries that we support every month, pays our staff, pays our rent, coffee and donuts. Y'all pay for that. You know, that's not free, right? Like, somebody picks that up every week. We pay for it, and it's providing. Now, some people came a few weeks ago, first time, they're like, we said something about the coffee and donuts, and they didn't know. They just came in and turned. They didn't know there's a whole cafe back here every week with coffee and donuts that are paid for out of the ministry of Relentless Church. So what I'm saying is, the worst thing you could do for you guys that give so generously and consistently to Relentless, the worst thing you can do is like, I'm gonna take that money I'm giving to, and I'm gonna slide that over to the building so we can get a building. Please don't do that, because we'll have a building and we'll have no donuts and no staff. And no ministry, right? So this is above and beyond. Now, if you're not giving anything to the ministry of Relentless Church, then above and beyond is really easy in your case. So can I tell a secret? I'm gonna. Let me just put it out there. I'm an Uber driver. You looking at me weird? You okay? I was nervous about that. And I'll tell you the story. And it matters today. But I drive Uber occasionally. I haven't driven, I think the last time I drove was August. But I got a little side hustle. And I'm going to explain why, all right? And for a long time, I didn't want anybody to know. But I have these amazing conversations. So if you've been talking to me and you heard me say, like, man, I was talking to this guy the other day. And you were thinking, where were you talking to a guy like that about that? It was an Uber conversation. Let me tell you, I got a whole sermon series just off New Year's Eve last year. I started driving in December. And the reason I started driving was a little bit of a panic move, right? So this is not the best time for the Joneses to go into a giving campaign with about to be 3 kids in college. So last year, My daughter was just, her dream has been to play ball in college. And no scholarship offers were coming. We were getting offers. You know, offers can be fake offers. Offers like, yes, we want you, come play. Pay your way and play. That's not really an offer. Like, we're going to school anyway. Like, and so then, but that's her dream. So I started, it was a little bit of a panic last December of like, and it's please, 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 church. You don't, I'm not underpaid. That's not the issue, right? It's not that I'm underpaid. That's not the issue. The issue is I'm just crunching numbers. And what are we willing to do for our daughter's dream? So what can I make, you know, what kind of jobs out there where I can make my own schedule and only do it when I want to? It's Uber, all right? And I did that for a few months and nobody was going to know. And then doggone it, if one of you daughter didn't pick me and I took her to work, I was like, well, she's probably going to tell her parents that her pastor's driving Uber. So I need to make sure, and the elders know, and the staff know. So then I started telling some people. And again, once Mia got her scholarship, praise God, I only did it like days off and when it was available. They don't let you drive more than 12 hours in a row. And it's really fun for me. Like now that once she got her scholarship and I could, you know, relax a little bit, I should have just remembered God comes through. But I'm trying to practice what I preach. So now I only drive when I want to. And I'm telling you, it is so fun. Like, this is such a diverse place. Sometimes I'll have dozens of rides in a row with nobody born in America. I learned so much. And listen, for all, if you guys that watch the news and just think people are awful, I'm so encouraged. People are so kind and generous. All I'm doing is picking them up and taking them from A to B. They're so grateful, right? And they're so open. Like, there's rules about Uber. You're not supposed to talk about politics or Jesus. I do both. But they're so open. And when they ask if that's my full-time job, no, what do you do? I'm a pastor. And there may be somebody sitting beside you that they're at Relentless because your pastor was their Uber driver. I've invited a lot of people, had a lot of beautiful conversations. I've learned a lot. It helps me preach. But I don't do it. Haven't done it much lately. We've been just impossible. But as this campaign, let me bring it back. Now that my secret is out, I told my wife as we're discussing what our number might be, and I thought, 5 hours a week, and it's fun and it's good for me. I mean, sometimes I'll be leaving work in the afternoon and driving down 401, and you can use the app to do it directionally. Like, anybody going from here to there, I'm driving home anyway. Somebody's gonna pay me $20 to drop them off somewhere on the way home. It's like, come on. So 4 or 5 hours a week, that's $100 a week. $100 a week for a 3-year campaign, that's $15,000. So I'm thinking that God may be calling us to become an Uber driving church. All right, maybe that's not your deal. Maybe. So if we don't want to talk about Uber, then we'll talk about Starbucks. Well, you want to drive Uber or you want to do a Starbucks ban? Let's boycott Starbucks. I asked my wife, I said, honey, because I don't know. What is the average cost of a drink at Starbucks? What do you think? $100. She said $7. I'm hearing $10, which will change my numbers completely. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Let me bless you today with the truth. You can go right over here at the Wendy's and you can get a junior bacon cheeseburger, fries, vanilla Coke, and nuggets for $5 biggie bag. Why would you ever pay 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 for a drink? What's in these things? Are they cocaine laced? I don't know. But I asked my wife, like, Relentless Women, how often do they drink Starbucks? And she said, it depends. Some of them a couple a week. Some of them feel like they're really doing well if they go once a day. So depending on how you do that, I think there's $250,000 in this church if we just boycott Starbucks. You're like, I'm not driving Uber and I'm not boycotting Starbucks. Let me give you one more, all right? This is a nerdy thing to do, but one day, months ago, I went out into our parking lot and I totaled the value of all the vehicles, right? The current value, not what you paid for, but if we sold all of our cars right now, I think, this is a conservative number, some of you are gonna argue. I think if we sold all of our vehicles in the church, I think there's $3 million worth of vehicles at Relentless Church, right? And some of you, like, you may get $100 for that thing, but then there's others that'll balance that out. There's a lot. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, if we all sell our vehicles, how are we going to get anywhere? Uber. It all works together. Thank you for knowing that answer. I joke, sort of. Listen to God and obey what he says. We spent a lot of time and effort and money on this video. We're going to give you the long version. It's a 12-minute video here today. And then each week in this series, you're going to get to hear more from some of the amazing people at Relentless. So I want to give you the full video today, and then we'll pray and go.
Once upon a time, a church started at a movie theater. It's the movie theater right behind me, 9-14-14, September 14th, 2014. A few weeks in, we had about 75 folks. That's kids and adults. We're a small church, just doing whatever it took. We're loading in, loading out every week. A lot of work, a lot of sweat to become Relentless Church. But if I'm honest, the seeds for Relentless Church go way before 2014. I went by myself to Charlotte, to Cricket Arena, to attend a Christmas service of a predominantly white church and a predominantly black church coming together to do this service. And it was inspiring, it was moving. Something happened in me. That was really the beginning of a call on my life to pastor a multi-ethnic church. It was a few years after that that my dad was diagnosed with cancer. He is with Jesus today, but after his death in 2012, I could feel the Spirit of God saying, you know how short life is. Like, what are you waiting for? You know what I've called you to do. Let's go. So we begin to take steps to move our family here to Raleigh and to eventually start Relentless Church right here at Crossroads Theater. A part of that was going to a conference called Kainos. It was a conference about how to do multi-ethnic church, and it was the biblical foundation for the multi-ethnic church for me to learn this wasn't a fad, this wasn't new, it was only new in America. And then the next year at that same conference, I was able to bring back some brothers that were part of Relentless, continuing just to build the undergirding, the system and structure of what multi-ethnic church is practically and biblically. And we were on our way. There was so much that I didn't know then and so much that I don't know now, but what I did know then and what we still know today, that God is calling us to be a gospel-centered, forever-focused, multi-ethnic movement of God. From the very early stages of Relentless Church, God was good to us in showing us lives being changed. We've always been, hopefully always will be, a church for the untold and unconvinced. So we had people coming in those early days, and they said, you know, we like y'all, but we just don't believe this stuff. This invisible Jesus, we just don't buy it. We saw the gospel move them from that to, oh my goodness, this could be real, and then eventually move them to, I'm gonna trust this Jesus with my life and start a real relationship with him, all built on our church name, that God really is a relentless God. He just keeps showing up every day with his grace, with his mercy, inviting us into a relationship with him. So we've built this thing on these statements that we're about relationship, not religion. We're about transformation, not transaction. We're about a lifestyle over a list. We're about faith over feelings. And we're about training over trying. And after 10 years, we can say, it works. It not meaning Relentless Church, but it meaning the gospel, that it actually is the power of God. It's strong enough to unite people that are different, to bring people together and keep them together.
We did not stand with Jesus 10 years ago.
How our lives, you know, look different today than I think they would have without Relentless and Jesus in our lives. Definitely our marriage. Our relationships with our kids, our relationships with our parents, our relationships with friends, family, how we interact with coworkers. But I don't know that we would be here together if it wasn't for Jesus working in our marriage.
We now have a family that we have, you know, come into relationship with, that we get to walk with, that we get to serve with and bring others to the gospel. When we moved to Wake County 10 years ago, I remember one of my biggest prayers was, Lord, please let there be some neighborhood kids for our kids to play with. And he took that prayer also and gave us Relentless Church. And so a family that we've come into relationship with and get to walk with.
I think for both of us is our children and their engagement, their commitment to living a Christ-like life, their commitment to showing up. I believe God can do anything and all things, but to be able to see that growth in our children as a result of being at Relentless and being present at Relentless and having the relationships that they've built at Relentless and the people who've taken the time to invest in them individually and collectively for us as a family. I think all of that has been a huge part of how Relentless has impacted our family and grown our family, even to the point where they're bringing other people. And so I think that for me is an indication of just how they value the space that Relentless has provided them to grow spiritually.
Just the impact that, like, I truly believe we're different people because of who we've come in contact with at Relentless. And so giving for this is not gonna be as scary as, you know, it may have been before, so.
I love our church. There's so much to love about Relentless Church, but we're only a sliver, a speck, a taste of what we can be and what we're gonna be. We're entering a capital campaign that we've titled Immeasurably More, and it's immeasurably more of everything that God has done that he's gonna continue to do. But our next step is to own something as far as property, as far as a building. We have had the urge to own something for several years, and now God has made it clear that that is our next step. With owning something comes credibility. It gives you roots in the community. It gives you a higher level of impact and freedom to do the ministry that God has called you to do. Right now, as a church, we own a soundboard, and that's about it. So we need to make a move. We are a generous church. We are a loving church. But we are not a wealthy church. So here we stand at a crossroads having to do something. Why do we have to do something? We had to start this capital campaign for two reasons. Number one, because of our lease. Our lease is up February 1st, 2027. So approximately 2.5 years from now, if we do nothing and just enjoy all that God is doing and blessing at Relentless and do nothing else, then come February 1st, 2027, we're gonna have nowhere to meet, nowhere to gather, nowhere to worship, nowhere to do ministry. So we have to do something because of that. The other reason we have to do something, the word that God keeps putting in front of my face is ripe. The harvest is ripe. There is so much hunger for a unified, gospel-centered, multi-ethnic church. So people are looking for this. They're desperate for something that's real and authentic. People are just fed up with the being one thing and then finding out behind the curtain that it's something else. They just have no patience or tolerance for that. But if they can find something real and authentic, people are ready to jump in on that. People are also just desperate to be united. Our culture, our country is so divided. They just are almost scared to believe that there could be something big enough and strong enough to unite people from all different places, walks, and nations, as he's doing here. So the $1 million question, or the several $1 million question, is what are we gonna own? I don't know. I know that we're either gonna find something and buy it and renovate it to make it our church home, or we're gonna have to find some land and build a building from scratch that'll be our church home. Which of those? I wish I knew. And I would so like to be able to give you all the specific details of how we're gonna do this and what we're gonna buy and purchase. I just honestly do not know. And God has gotten me excited about that, that that's not a bad thing that I and we don't know yet. That's the difference between testimony and faith. We got to this building because God brought us here from the theater. That wasn't a faith thing, that was God just doing it, right? We wanna do this one different, right? We wanna have the faith on the front end. We don't know the details, but we are sure that God has a beautiful plan for us. So we're gonna state that, declare that, worship him through that on the front end. And as he chooses to reveal the specific details, that'll be beautiful. But for this campaign, we're giving to an unknown building. We're just giving to have a home, to own something, to do more, immeasurably more of the things that God has called Relentless Church to do.
This is our family. The church is our family. How do we help create and build a home for our family and support that? and doing something that's bigger than us. You know, what this campaign looks like and how this will move the church, it will impact not just us in the next few years and 10 years, but when you and I are long gone and our kids are there in the next generations, this is the foundational moment and pivotal moment in not just Relentless Church, but what Relentless Church can do for the kingdom and for Christ from now until, you know, eternity.
I know that he's gonna come through in a way that we don't expect, or do something that we thought couldn't be done in general. And I'm super excited about it.
I am most excited about what that's gonna do for the children. The children's ministry, what that space is gonna look like, what opportunities we have. My faith is really important to me, but my children and them knowing God is really what's my focus at this point in my life. And making sure that they have a good foundation and they are loved and in a place where they can see Jesus and feel Jesus and learn about Jesus and just be wrapped and surrounded by him. And I think our church is gonna grow tremendously in that way, and it's gonna be a blessing to the church and to the Raleigh area and to the world. So as our children grow up and go out and do great things for Jesus.
I think that for me is what's exciting, is that I understand now how God is gonna show up and show out, and people are gonna leave with that. And I know that that is way more impactful and more powerful than any building, any place that we could own or rent or build or fly to. It's this seed of faith that God is gonna multiply and grow inside of people, and it's gonna embolden them to really live out a life for Christ. And that for me is what this campaign at the end of it looks like. And it's what makes me most excited.
Honestly, probably my biggest concern about even doing a capital campaign, I just felt uncomfortable about spending all these weeks and times and videos, you know, begging for money and dig deep and me asking you to give everything you got. I do believe it's worth it, but I've understood now my job is not to ask you to give everything you have. If you want to, that's great. My job is to ask you to listen to God and obey what he says. We're asking everybody that's a part of Relentless Church, and even some folks that are hundreds of miles away, that if you would ask God if he wants you to be a part of this and listen to whatever he tells you, and whether you give whatever amount of money is irrelevant, if you give anything to this campaign, there is no small parts of this campaign. You will be a part of the greater kingdom-driven cause that God is doing in Relentless Church. So I wanna invite you into this campaign on the front end before we see all God's gonna do, and we can declare together in faith to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask, think, dream, or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is not a fundraising campaign as much as it's a faith-raising campaign. And we're going to help you believe that through these next 6 weeks. You want to be in on this. Just you want to be in on this. Let me close with one other thing. Two other things you want to be in on. Men, we have our huddle tomorrow night. We'd love to have you if you've never been. Second Monday night of every month. But this week is our men's retreat. We have 15 beds that are unoccupied. So we have 15 spots still available for our men's retreat. We're going to have 30, 40, depending on if you'll listen to what I'm telling you right now. Men that are going to come back this weekend. It's just Thursday night to Saturday morning. It's a 36-hour retreat. They're going to come back different than they left. So be praying for us. And please join us if there's any way you can. Lastly, we are not taking 6 weeks off of ministry. So we're going to end this service how we often do and just opening our front here called an altar to pray. We'd love to pray for you. I don't exaggerate when I say there are people on our prayer team and they tell me the highlight of their week and their month is getting to pray for somebody at the end of service. So it could be financial, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about life. If it's about your relationship with God, if it's physical, if there's anything you would want another human to pray for you, I'm gonna open this up. And after I pray, you can come up and receive the blessing of have somebody pray for you. If it's about a relationship with God, you wanna know more about that, anything that you need prayer for, just come up and as part of our prayer team, we'll surround you and pray you up. Pray with me. Father, thank you for being the God of immeasurably more. God, I gotta think that you're enjoying and smiling over us today, because you know exactly. There's no guessing in your mind of where we're going to be and what you're about to do. God, would you give us that same excitement, because we don't know what you do know, but we do know who you are, and we know your goodness and faithfulness. So just raise the faith of our church. And God, as I open this time up, if there's someone who really wants to just get out of here and go to their next thing, but they need to humble themselves and allow somebody to pray over them, I just pray you can give them the courage to come and be prayed for today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.